Christian Parenting.
Welcome to Pardon the Mess. I'm your host, Courtney DeFeo. As parents, we know raising kids is the opposite of neat and tidy. Each day brings wins, losses, and valuable lessons. I pray that every time you're here, we will grow and learn, maybe even laugh and cry together in the midst of our beautiful mess. Okay, everyone, welcome to Pardon the Mess. Again, this week, we're so excited that you're here. I have a confession. I've been a big fan of Jennifer Dukes-Lee for a long time, and she's one of those guests that when we got connected, I'm like, yes, let's get her on there. I couldn't wait to have a conversation. She's written several books that I've read over the years, and we met as we did this interview, and it was so fun to talk to someone that I've admired for a long time, and I think that you probably do as well, or if you're new to her, you're going to love her latest work. It's called Stuff I'd Only Tell God, which is a guided journal, and I have it with me on vacation right now, and I'm super excited to dive into it. And I think that we can all relate to just this idea of journaling. I'm terrible at it. I know that comes as a huge shock, but I have about 8 to 10 to 20 journals with like 2 pages in them. I think they're pretty. I just can't commit to it. So I love the work that she's done because it guides you through. It already asks you the questions. You don't just open to a blank page. And she's got so many good thoughts. So you'll enjoy this episode. But I also want to ask you, who are those people online that you follow that are like, she'd be my best friend? There's some celebrities like Matt Damon, Jennifer Garner, Reese Witherspoon. My friends and I have joked, like, they would love us. We would totally hang out by the pool and chit-chat with them. So on Instagram today, go over to mine and Pardon the Mess and tell us, who's like your online best friend that they don't know who you are, but in your head, y'all are really good friends. So let me know and enjoy your new best friend, Jennifer Dukes-Lee. Hey, Jennifer, how are you?
Doing great. This is so fun to get to be on a podcast with you. My goodness.
I know, we just met, literally. I think the past 4 episodes, I've been like, well, here's another good friend of mine. You were the first one that agreed to be on, and we're not actually friends yet. We are now. So thanks for doing that.
We are. But I've known of you for a very long time, and we have a lot of mutual friends out in the Christian publishing world. So that's a lot of fun.
That's right. That's right. I read Love Idol way back in the day. When did that book come out? Because I remember loving it.
2014.
Okay. That was when my first came out, and I just thought not many people were talking about that during that time. And I think that's kind of who you are, is you see something going on in the world and you see God stirring something, and then you're like, you know what? I'll write about it. Is that fair to say about your writing journey?
I think so. I try to pay attention and I try to take risks and, you know, listen to conversations. It kind of goes back to my old newspaper days. I think I had my eyes peeled all the time, just looking for trends and what was going on and what was happening and what might make a good story. And
yeah,
now I don't just rely on, you know, the environment or the universe to drop things in front of me. I do rely on the Holy Spirit, and hopefully I'm picking up what he's dropping down for me to pay attention to.
I think you are. Well, tell me about those news reporter days. How long did you do that, and where were you?
I started in news when I was 16 years old. That's when I got my first news job.
Wow.
And it was at a small weekly paper in the town where I grew up. And, you know, most kids my age were interested in sports and music and, you know, all that stuff. And I was too. But what I really loved was at the end of the day, walking out of the school building and headed straight to the newsroom and writing just little stories, like on Easter egg hunts and like neighborhood news. I mean, it was just, it's stuff that doesn't even really seem that important, but I loved reporting. I loved editing.
Wow.
Then I went to school for journalism and ended up as a police reporter. Was my first job out of college. So I was on the crime beat in Omaha. And covered city hall. I covered county government, moved to the Des Moines Register, and I was the chief political reporter for Iowa's largest newspaper. And in Iowa, national politics is kind of an exciting thing because of the first in the nation caucuses.
Yeah.
So I got to cover a presidential campaign, and I've run the gamut of news stories over my years. But then I moved up to the farm and my news career disappeared, and I'm like, I still love writing, but what am I going to do? There weren't any blogs, and I mean, that I had heard of. But when I finally got around to writing, that desire of reporting the news was still there, but it turned out that I became a good news reporter, because that's been my story ever since, is just
that's so good.
Looking at what God's doing in the Gospels and trying to tell that story to the world as much as I can.
Yes, I love that. I was a PR major in college, and I just geeked out. It's like once you get into your lane of what you're like, wow, school is actually fine when I'm interested in that sort of thing. So I was telling you today, your marketing lady or whoever works on your stuff for your book was like, man, this person has some great questions. So I see that you proofed that and you had some good questions in there. But we're going to get to a really exciting topic, because the reason I wanted to have you on today is all about journaling and confession and honesty. And I just love this latest book of yours. But first, why don't you tell folks about your farm life, or where do you live, how many kids, all that good stuff, so we can get to know you a little better.
Absolutely. I think you said farm life, and that is exactly right. I am on a farm in Northwest Iowa. We moved here about 20 years ago. This is my husband's fifth generation family farm. So
Wow. They've
been at it since 1870.
Wow.
And we have been growing corn and soybeans and pigs. Scott and I also have been growing two beautiful humans. And they are now, they've flown the coop. They are both adults in college, and we're adjusting to this phase of life known as the empty nest.
Yes.
And I'm blaming that for the fact that I am suddenly obsessed with birds. I'm taking this whole empty nest thing, like, it's supposed to be a metaphor, and I'm like taking it super literally. I got my first bird feeder for Mother's Day, and just 2 days ago, finally got some birds on that bird feeder, two goldfinches. See, I'm like already bringing it around. I'm already making it weird. Like, I'm already making it about
Do
birds.
They have
but,
names
so we're also now
friend.
Raising birds.
Do they have little pet names? Are they like your children now?
No, but I learned what a breeding male looks like and what a non-breeding male looks like in terms of the goldfinch. And I'm learning to identify birds by their chirps, by their calls, by their songs. I have an app called the Merlin app by Cornell. And man, I'm all in. This is the way I roll. Like, I find something and then I'm just immediately obsessed with it.
I love it. So, okay, folks, if you don't want to tune into her writing, which I know you will, you can go learn about birds. You know, that's how we're going to learn about birds,
yes,
following you.
Yes, I'm now a bird account on Instagram.
That's so cute. I have a friend just like you, and hers have full names. And I remember calling one time and she's like, hey, I'm watching this live feed of an eagle's nest. I'm like, what has happened to you? Like, you're glued to a live feed of an eagle's nest, but it happens. I guess we got to find new hobbies since our kids are.
Well, now
old.
I know what I'm doing after we're done with this recording. I'm going to go find me a live footage of
eagle's
nest.
That's amazing. All right, before we get into some pretty heavy and hard topics, you like ruthless honesty, I like fun, and so we're going to do a little fast and furious, and we're both going to answer. You'll go first, but it's pretty easy stuff. Are you ready? Okay.
I'm ready.
Morning or night person?
I'm both. I regret it every morning, because I want to stay up late because I don't want to miss anything, but then
right.
I have to get up early because like my exercise is at 5:45. So I end up being really tired about 2:00 every day. So if I fall asleep.
Okay. I'm night. I'm night. Okay. And I am so embarrassed. I've been needing to confess this. Speaking of confession, I took a sleeping aid last night because I've had a couple days of no sleep, and I was like, this one's from Costco, should be fine. I just slept last night 12 hours. I was like in a full coma, and my kids came up twice and were like, mom, are you okay? And I thought it was like 7:10. I said, I told y'all I wanted to sleep in. And my oldest said, mom, it's 11 o'clock. I'm like, I guess it's a PSA for the Costco sleep aid. If you want to take a 2-day nap, that's where
Well,
it's
there
at.
You go. But you probably needed it.
I needed it. Correct. Okay. Next one, coffee with a little bit of creamer or a lot of creamer with a little bit of coffee.
Coffee with no creamer.
Whoa. Okay. You're more grown up than I am. I like a lot of creamer. Okay. Beach or mountains?
Beach.
Beach. Okay. I'm mountains. Okay. Could we do both? Could we have a mountain looking at a beach?
I think so. That's
okay.
Just like picking a favorite kid.
Yes. I think I know this about you, but writing or speaking?
Writing.
Mm-hmm. I think I actually prefer speaking better. Okay. Summer or fall?
I think summer. Summer.
Okay. I'm fall. All right. Sweet or salty?
Salty.
Okay. I think I'm the same. I think today. Okay. Super fun. All right. Well, where we're going with this is you have just written a book called Stuff I'd Only Tell God. And I'm telling you, I've never seen anything like this. And it says a guided journal of courageous honesty, obsessive truth-telling, and beautiful, ruthless self-discovery. And y'all, it's just what it says. It's a guided journal. Here's my problem. I journal for like 2 days. And so I've got my daughter this morning was like, you're talking to a lady about journaling. Where are your journals? I'm like, I've got 10 of them right there. And they've all got like 2 to 3 pages in it. So has this been something you've been good at your whole life? How do you help an ADD person like me stick with it? Let's start there. And then I've got a lot more questions.
Absolutely. common question, a common problem. Yeah. So many women I know, me included, go out and buy a beautiful journal that it just looks pretty. And it's got lines on the inside and we're supposed to fill it out and we open it up and we're maybe good for like 2 or 3 days. I have countless journals that are like that are just a few pages in and then I go buy another one. Now, what I've learned about myself is I'm good with journaling that has a specific reason. So I've got gratitude journals. I've got prayer journals. I've got all of those kinds of journals and I'm good about filling those out because I know what I'm supposed to do with them. But here I am, a writer by trade. I open up a empty journal and I don't always know where to start. I don't know what to say. I don't know, like, if, you know, then I get like to thinking it's supposed to look a certain way or it's supposed to sound a certain way. And so I just don't do it.
Right.
What I needed was something guided. And that's why I wrote Stuff I Only Tell God. It's a journal that where I don't have to decide what to write about. It asks me. And then it's a starting point. And then I am able to unload in a way that I need. And I mean, I have nothing against blank journals. I want to develop that more in my life. But it's harder for me to do. And I know that I'm not alone.
Yeah. Well, I love that you do lighthearted things like we just did, you know, just silly back and forth, you know, but you also do some pretty heavy stuff, which is so, I don't think we do it enough. It's like me and my past, me and my weird days, as honest as I've ever been. You have so many different great sections. I wish we could go through each of them. But as I was thinking about you this morning, I was thinking about a time that I was just leaving college. And I was being super dishonest with my family. I was making some poor decisions. And I remember the moment I decided to live for God and stop making just stupid choices. And the relief it felt to face my parents and like know I wasn't hiding something from them was like a peace I've never experienced. And so let's talk about that what do you think, how do we honor God and how do we benefit from just being so honest? Even though he can see it all, he knows it all. What is it? What is that process? And why does it feel so good to just get it out and just come before the Lord with like deep, like you've said, obsessive truth telling and getting to the core of some of those hard things? Have you guys heard of the online learning program called IXL? My kids were actually required to do IXL as a part of their school, and they would roll their eyes when it was time. But I think they would tell you years later, and I would tell you, that it really worked and it helped them so much. They received the help they needed in subjects where they were struggling. And I know other parents at our school that used it for their kids that are ahead and they weren't getting challenged enough in the classroom. IXL Learning is an online learning program that enriches your homeschool curriculum and your child's classroom learning. It offers practice in math, English, language arts, science, and social studies while adapting it to each child. It meets them where they are. Plus, IXL encourages students to be curious and empowers them to choose how to learn. And the best part is IXL is easy for parents. Don't we need that? One site gets you all you need, and IXL customizes learning for each child in your family and their specific needs. IXL is organized by grade, subject, topic, and subtopic, and it makes it simple to find activities for the exact skills that you are covering. It also offers instant feedback and explanations of the topics as the kids use the program, which is super helpful. So you can feel confident as a parent that your kids will gain an understanding of the skills they are learning. Make an impact today on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And Pardon the Mess listeners can get an exclusive 20% off an IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/today. Visit IXL.com/today to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
You You probably know Avocado Green Mattress for their certified organic mattresses. I've been talking about that lately. But did you know they also make unbelievably breathable natural bedding? From soft organic cotton sheets to light as air silk and lofty down duvets, their bedding is designed to naturally regulate your temperature and keep you cool, comfy, and sleeping soundly all night long. So listen up, hot sleepers. This one's for you. This bedding is perfect for hot sleepers in warmer months. Hello, Texas summer. Avocado sheets and duvet inserts are naturally breathable, and they help regulate your temperature so you can sleep cool, dry, and comfortable all night long. And just like those mattresses, Avocado bedding is crafted from renewable, biodegradable materials with the highest social and environmental standards, so it's better for you and better for the planet. And beyond that sustainability, this bedding is designed to deliver luxurious comfort that will have you looking forward to crawling into your bed every night. Head on over to avocadomattress.com to save 10% on all bedding and 50% on clearance bedding. Avocado, dream of better.
Yeah, I compare it to the relationship I have with my husband. My husband knows just by walking into a room, like what my mood is. He knows that I love him without me saying so. He knows and even anticipates some of my needs in our home. But if that's the way that our relationship was always was him just knowing and acting upon that instead of me ever expressing anything to him.
Wow.
Like, you know, well, honey, I love you, but I'm not going to tell you. And I'm not going to tell you how much I love you. And I don't need to be honest with you because you can just figure it out by looking at the way I rolled my eyes or the body language that I'm giving off, right? And that's the way it would can be with God. And sometimes it is with God. We just assume, well, he knows anyway, so what's the point?
Right. Right.
But what we're missing out on when we don't engage in an honest, vulnerable conversation authentically with the Lord is that we are missing out on the intimacy that he intends to us for us to have with him. And I get that it's really hard, even though we know intellectually that God knows and sees all things. It can be difficult to come before a holy God and be real with him. I remember a time when I was at a women's retreat about 20 years ago, and it was a weekend long retreat. And on Friday night, the worship team was going, and the pastor gave us little slips of paper. And on these little slips of paper, we were to write anything that stood in the way of our relationship with God. And in my mind, I'm thinking this little piece of paper is not nearly enough for what I have that I need to write down. I need like a butcher paper roll thing, you know? But when it came to actually doing it, I hardly even filled it out because I did not want to, one, see my stuff on that paper, especially my sin.
Right.
And number two, I didn't want to show it to God, which is so weird because he knew anyway. Like I left a bunch of stuff off of that paper. I did some things like with just initials, just thinking, you know, I just don't want to face it. And I think that we think we have to be this sort of shined up version of ourselves before God, which is completely anti-gospel. He literally came, Jesus came because of the mess that we find ourselves in.
Yeah.
And so acknowledging that is a way of welcoming the redemptive work of Christ in my life. It's so important.
Yeah, I love that. I know sometimes that I've lately, actually, in the last year, I've been trying to work through some inner healing. I've had headaches for years, and I've just trying to been going deeper into the spiritual root of some of this stuff and go, it's not just physical, there's more to it. And I remember writing some confession time in a journal, and I thought, like you said, wow, this list is long. And I don't know that I've said the things out loud that I feel like I probably should just confess to God. Like, I want to confess, I want to repent. So can we talk about the relationship? I know this is going deeper fast, but confession and healing, that is biblical, but why don't we think about that? Like, why do we just go to him with our list? Like, please take away this, this, and this, but we skip the part that may feel harder or messier that actually ushers us into a better place to come before God.
Yeah. It because it hurts.
Yeah.
It hurts.
Yeah.
Coming face to face with, what we've done, coming face to face with the things that feel shameful, the things that we carry, the stuff that we've done, the stupid things that we've said, that kind of honesty with ourselves can feel really, really painful.
Yeah.
But anybody who's been on the other side of that, you know, you can talk to anybody who's gone through addiction, for instance. And once they come clean, the healing that comes on the other side of that is worth it. But the road there is hard. You know, nobody goes through treatment and thinks, well, that was a breeze. I mean, it's the end game is the reward, but the path there can be very, very difficult. Right. And I recognize that even within the journal itself, there are things that I'm asking of people to acknowledge sin in their life, to acknowledge regrets, to acknowledge things in their past that have hurt them. And that's hard work. Yeah. But in the end, it helps. Because honestly, Courtney, if we don't deal with that stuff, what I have found is it has its way of coming out.
Yep.
Onto people around us. So I know that there's different things that in my life that I've carried from my far, far past that I will project, for instance, onto my teenage and college age girls, like dumb decisions that I made when I was that age. And then I'll take it out with overprotectiveness or with anger or with, you know, any number of attitudes that really aren't theirs to bear. Or, you know, anger against my husband about something, or just shame that I feel inside that affects my ability to walk confidently in God's grace and goodness in the world. And so all of those things become like weights that we just, hold us down so that we can't really fly free with Him.
Yeah. This is, I don't know, maybe another hard question, but I think you could do it. So I'm thinking, as someone does this, say they haven't gone through their past and they know it's time to kind of get some of that stuff out there. And this is such a great tool. You ask some really sweet and kind and thoughtful questions to guide someone through that. How do you know when it's time for counseling? And I'm so pumped we live in a time where counseling is normalized. It's like you have to hide it. So should they go through this first and then say, wow, that is held on deeper than I thought. Maybe I should talk that through with someone. Do you know, have any advice on that?
Yeah, great question. I think that if the question even comes to mind, the answer is yes. Mm. If the question comes to mind for somebody as they're going through that journal, or even right now as they're listening, and if they never pick up the journal, if right now the question is, I wonder if I should see a counselor about that. Yes. In the same way that if you had a sore tooth, I would say you should just go to the dentist and just check it out. Like, I think the answer is always going to be yes if it comes up. And it's possible, I know, because even though this journal's only been out for a few weeks, it's possible that this will unearth some of that that you maybe haven't thought about before.
That's right.
I've heard already from people that in the very opening section of Me and My People, where you have to list like anybody who's been in your life, that's like influenced your life for better or worse, that's unearthing all kinds of things for people. Honestly, Courtney, that I did not imagine, or I did not know that would happen. Right. But this book is not my book. It's your book. Like, it's whoever is picking it up. There's no telling what's going to happen as you go through it. And so I think that you have to listen to the Holy Spirit. You have to listen to how it feels in your body and how it feels in your soul and your spirit, and take action and get to a counselor if you need to.
I love it. It is just so good. I can't wait to do it. And I'm going to prove to you that I can do more than 2 pages. Hold me accountable. I'm going to finish it and send you my picture of the last one. So I'm super excited to dive into it this summer. Okay. One question you have on page 135 is, what do you see in me? And I had an experience recently. It was probably 2 years ago. I get kind of sad on my birthday and just kind of get lonely because I'm from a different town, and just, I didn't make plans. And as an adult, you're like, who cares? I'm 47. But all of a sudden I started getting a little pouty. And I remember going onto the porch and I thought of this question that Sarah Haggerty told me one time that was like, God, who do you see that I am? Like, who do you see that I am? And I just asked it in my quiet time. And he said, lovely. And I was like, what? I was feeling the opposite of lovely. I was feeling fat, just gross, has been. And fast forward, I only tell you that because 2 hours later, my friend put a note on my step, a card. It said, happy birthday. And I open it. It's framed right in front of me. It says, you're so lovely. I mean, what are the chances of God repeating it on a day that I needed to hear what he thought of me? And so I think, beyond the going back, I don't think we live in the present and say, God, like, what do you want to say to me? I think we do our list and then we move on and we forget to listen. So I love that you included that. Encourage someone today that doesn't do that regularly and how they could engage and what they might be surprised to find out if they ask what God says.
Yeah, I think that's great. You just modeled it very well. I think you gave a great example for how to do this. Is first of all to come before the Lord and say, what do you see in me? Who do you see that I am? I think that our inclination is to ask people, and that's fine. But I think, you know, seeking the approval and the love of God over man is critically important. Now you got the added blessing of receiving that from a person. It might not happen that way for everybody,
right.
But I think it opens our eyes to see how God views us, and then we can walk in that. Secondly, like in the journal, though, this section that you're referring to, it's called the "What do you see in me" section, and you cut these pages out and you give them to somebody that you love and trust,
cool.
and that will know that you know will speak goodness over you. And so, this person, you know, you can't do that with everybody, but this would be somebody that you know really well, like maybe a spouse or your best friend, and maybe you can do it in return for her.
I love that.
Basically, you go through this process of describing their best quality, what would we do if we went on a vacation together? Something I want this person to know when they're having a hard day. So there's several pages of that, again, that you clip out and you give to a friend and they fill it out. And then you can do the same thing for them. And there's some of the questions there are silly and some are quite serious. But I think that could be a really cool practice for you just to remember that the people you're closest to really do value who you are.
Yeah, we were talking about our mutual friend, Jeannie Cunyon, who was just texting me before we got on and was just feeling really bummed about a project she was working on. And I can't wait to tell her. We both know her and we know what she's capable of and we know her heart. And it's fun to enter into friendships that way when you can repeat back truth and not let her believe the lies the enemy is just bombarding her with this morning. So we'll fix that, won't we?
Yes, we will. We're praying for you, Jeannie.
That's right. Okay, let me ask you about children. So like many things, I love to force my kids to do things, which is never a good parenting approach. So how has this worked with your girls? Have you suggested this to them? Have they taken you up on it? Have they seen the benefit of journaling in their life? Or do they need to fulfill this book maybe this summer? I don't know.
My both of my daughters have been journaling since they were children. When I used to do my prayer journals when they were 3, 4, 5 years old, and then also when they were just starting to learn how to write, I gave them little tiny Mead notebooks, like spiral bound ones, those kind of notebook size ones.
Yeah,
they still have them, and in there are their prayers for the things that matter to them. They start out as drawings, and then they get a little bit more developed as they get older and older. And that was something that was built into our parenting, was to teach them to go before the Lord and to write these things down. And now for the last 5 or 6 years, maybe 7 years, our older daughter, Lydia, has been actively journaling every single day. Everything that, you know, it's some of it's just like, this is what happened today, but it's stacks upon stacks of journals. And then our younger daughter has picked up the habit this past year, and she journals scripture quite a bit. And then she also just journals like the deep, deep things of her heart. I don't know what they look like. I have not been a person who goes and tries to figure out what my kids' journals say.
Yeah. They need the lock, like the old school diary. need the old school lock, like the diary.
When it came to this book, Stuff I'd Only Tell God, which they both have their copy and they're both working through, they actually helped me hugely helpful in putting this journal together, because I knew what somebody my age needed because I'm that age, but I also wanted it to be accessible to older high school and college age men and women. And so they were able to help me with some really specific questions in here. Their fingerprints are all over this thing.
Yeah, that's amazing. And I'm laughing at my newness to podcasting. I'm like, that was a terrible question. What if you've been like, nah, they're not really into it. But Luckily, they live it up.
Said so, you know, I mean, yeah, I mean, I absolutely would have said so. I love that. I always tell podcasters, you're free to ask me anything you want because it's payback for all of those years of me asking news sources all kinds of nosy questions.
Awesome. That's amazing. All right, what would you say to the young mom or maybe the 40-something-year-old like me that's like, okay, I need to get back into this? What are the benefits of doing this regularly in our lives, regardless if it's your book or your own prayer journal? As you look back over the years of your journals, what have you felt as the benefit of doing that so regularly?
One of the key benefits of journaling that a counselor or a therapist would tell you, which I am not, but they often encourage clients to do that because you're processing and healing in ways that you wouldn't if you didn't address it or put it down on paper. Mm-hmm. Journaling is really just thinking on paper. Yeah. And it helps you to be more intentional. If you might just think, well, I'll just think about it. But if you write it down, it has a much more intentionality to it and gives you an opportunity to see things that you wouldn't see otherwise. Now, as a professional writer, I see it happen all the time because I'm constantly not just journaling like alone, but in essence, when I'm out on Facebook and Instagram, it's like a journal, right? And so yeah. I don't always know until I get into the writing what it's actually saying or what that actually means or what God is speaking to me until I start the writing process. And then I'll have light bulbs go off. Aha. And so that's where the healing comes because there's this intentionality of taking time with your thoughts. Secondly, it has a decluttering aspect to it.
Yes.
In the same way that if you write your to-do list, then you don't like ruminate on it and you can get to sleep better at night because you know you've unloaded all that stuff. The same is true for journaling. You can get your worries and your fears or whatever's on your mind down on paper and kind of move along with your life. And then finally, for me, I have a journal that I call my memory keeping journal. And it's a list and sometimes paragraphs of just things that have happened in life, stories that I want to remember. And the things that I write in my memory keeping journal are things that I wouldn't remember as well if I didn't write them down.
Right.
I really wish that I would have done that. For instance, when my girls were born, I would love to remember exactly what I was thinking in those times. Yeah. And we have this idea that there's no way we're going to forget what it was like to stand at the altar or to stand at the rim of the Grand Canyon or to hold our first child. And, you know, there's things about those moments in my life that I remember, but there's so much lost because I didn't think I needed to write it down.
Gosh, and you're so right.
Yeah. And as a writer, Courtney, and I know you know too, I use that almost like as a story bank. When I start to write books, I'll go back through and I'll be like, oh, this story will work for my book. And I know most people aren't authors. Yeah. But if I didn't have that story bank, I wouldn't be able to remember it for my books. And, but more importantly, I wouldn't be able to remember it for my life. So I think a memory keeping journal is a great thing to do. It doesn't have to be poetic. It can just be a list of weird things.
Like the way
you felt or something that happened.
Yeah. Ron's mom, my mother-in-law, sweet Grammy, she told me to do this when the kids were babies and I just didn't. And I'm so mad. So we're going to give a shout out to all the young moms right now because yes, like you said, I thought I would be like, oh, and here's when her first step was. Here's when her first whatever was. And the baby books are empty. And so she said, don't make it so cute. Just leave it by your bed and just jot it down before you go to bed. Just something that happened in the day or that week that you don't want to forget. And I love that suggestion because I really thought my brain was so sharp I didn't need that. And now I can't remember anything. It's gone.
Yes. Courtney, I think that we just need to like put this on a billboard. Billboard. Yes. You don't need to make it cute.
That's right.
Right.
That's
that right. is so smart. Like, don't worry about the penmanship. Don't worry about grammar. Don't worry about poetic phrasing. Just write it down.
That's right. Get the
don't
facts.
Make it cute.
All right. Well, as we close up, anything else that's on your heart for people that come across this idea or this book that you're hope for their experience with themselves or with God that you would just want to leave us with?
Well, a couple of things. One is that this kind of journaling leads to a lot of self-discovery. Mm. And by the end, when people get to the end of this journal, I hope and pray that they feel closer to God and also feel more empathy toward themselves and toward other people and toward their past, and see like how those previous versions of you led you to where you are today. And that's a gift. So often we look at our pasts and think, oh, I wish I wouldn't have done that. Well, I really messed up. But the way that I've set this journal up, it helps you accept what has been and to embrace what is and to look forward to what is to come. And then the second part about this journal is that I think that as Christians, we take ourselves much too seriously. And there's a lot of silliness in this journal, a lot of embracing the weird, quirky, whimsical things that make you you, and a lot of opportunity for you to explore that and to laugh. I think it would be fun to do with like a book club with women, and just like have a girls' night out and go through some of these questions together. There's so much opportunity to just laugh and to enjoy one another's company, including enjoying the company of your own self.
Awesome. I was just thinking, I'm mentoring a girl. I'm like, man, this would be so great for her and I to go through this together as we're getting to know each other, and that relationship would be so great. Thank you. I'm so delighted to finally meet you over this screen, and you're just amazing. And I appreciate the time that you've put in to creating such a resource for all of us.
Well, thanks for having me.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of Pardon the Mess. As always, we've got more encouragement and resources over at christianparenting.org. And you can also stay connected with us on social media over at Pardon the Mess or christianparenting_org. Remember, you're never alone in this beautiful mess of parenting.